Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad that you found us today. I've got a question for you. Are you feeling stuck? Like maybe you've hit a wall and just nothing's moving forward? Well, you're not alone, and you're not without hope. You know, the Bible is full of people who faced impossible situations, like Mary, Noah, Job, even the Apostle Paul. And they all experienced one thing that changed everything, a breakthrough from God. So today, Pastor Rick continues his series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. Rick's going to walk us through biblical accounts of faith, prayer, and perseverance, reminding us that God still moves in powerful ways. Whether you're in a season of waiting or searching for hope, this series offers encouragement and biblical truth to help you keep going and get the breakthrough you need. Okay, let's get right to Rick with part two of a message called Why I Must Keep on Praying Persistently.
When you start praying, and many of you are praying for a breakthrough, you're going to find that actually your prayer changes. It evolves, it grows, it develops, because you're going to say, well, that's not really what I want. What I really want is this or that. And praying persistently tests my desires, what I really want. Now, everybody has desires. The reason you have desires is because God put them in you. Now, a desire can be misused, it can be abused, it can be perverted. The desire for a sexual relationship, that's a normal human desire. Can it be abused, perverted, misused? Of course it can. All of God's gifts are good, but they can be misused. Fire is good in the fireplace, but fire in the wrong place will burn a house down. Water is good in a bathtub, but water in a flood, too much of it can drown you. Any of God's gifts can be perverted, misused, and abused by Satan. The reason why God has certain parameters for sex is not because it's dirty. It's not. It's holy. In fact, sex is more important than you think. It's also less important than you think. I'll do a whole message on that some other time. But here's the point. I just piqued your interest on that one. There are good desires in your life, and there are bad desires in your life. There are appropriate desires in your life, and there are inappropriate desires in your life. There are helpful desires in your life, and there are harmful desires in your life. There are righteous desires in your life. There are unrighteous desires in your life. There are constructive desires in your life, and there are destructive desires. When you pray persistently, those start to filter out. And you begin to realize this is a good desire or this is not a good desire. Persistent praying shows the difference between a whim and a deep desire. If you ask God for something and you only ask about it one time, that's not a deep desire. It's just a whim. And God is not in the business of fulfilling every whim you've got. God is in the business, as your Heavenly Father, of taking care of your deepest desires. God doesn't give you every little whim. You might watch something on a shopping channel, go, oh, I really like that, and 3 minutes later, you've already forgotten it. It's a whim. If you're not willing to pray about something more than once, it's not a deep desire, it's just a whim. And God doesn't promise to meet all your whims. When my kids were little and they used to come to me, I'd take them on, to the mall, and we'd go through stores, and they'd say 100 things that they wanted. I like that, Daddy. I like that, Daddy. All that. Can I get this, Dad? How about that, Daddy? And 100 different things. And I know most of them are just whims. But when they go, Daddy, I really, 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 Daddy, I really, really, really want this. Now I know we're not talking about a whim. We're talking about a deep desire. But they had to say 18 reallys to convince me. And sometimes when you've got a prayer, God goes, you just asking for that? And you want to get married? You want a husband? You want a wife? How serious are you willing to pray about it every day? Are you willing? Would you like a job? Would you, whatever you want to, are you willing to pray about it 3 times a day like we're doing right now? And bring it before God, it kind of sifts out, that's not that important to me. So the first thing that praying persistently does is it tests my desires. By the way, have you ever wondered where your deepest desires come from? They come from God. They come from God. They're part of your God-given shape. There's some things that attract your interest, some things you couldn't care less about. Some things really turn you on, some things bore you to tears. Some things really wind your crank, some things just give a big yawn. And all of us have different desires, different needs, different interests. That's part of your God-given shape. They came from God. And God put that desire in you, and then he wants you to ask, and then he wants to provide for it. That builds the relationship. That builds the connection. When you have a need, and then you recognize that need, and then you verbalize that need to God, and then God meets that need, what's the end result of that? You trust God more. And every time you get an answer to prayer, you trust God more. That's why God wants you to pray. That's why God wants you to ask and keep on asking. But he says, I want first to know what you really want in your heart. Praying tests my desires. Did you know that God wants to give you your deepest desires? He does. He just wants to make sure that he's in the first place, that he's your first desire, and then everything else is second. There is almost nothing that God won't do for the woman or the man who puts God first in every area of their life. Almost nothing. Look at this next verse. It's an amazing verse. Psalm 37, verse 4, great promise. Take delight in the Lord, that's a desire thing, and he will give you, read it with me, the desires of your heart. Holy moly. You need to write that one on a card and put it on your visor or on your refrigerator or on your mirror in your bathroom. Delight yourself in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God is not stingy. He's waiting on you. Delight yourself in the Lord. Pay attention to God. And when I pay attention to God, it tests my desires. What do I really want? Here's the second thing it tests. Number two, praying persistently tests my priorities. It tests my priorities. And when I have to pray for something more than once, it's not like I'm convincing God to do it. He already is waiting to give it. He just wants to know what's really important to me. That's the question. What's most important in my life? And so when you pray about something, it tends to clarify what's important to you. If you don't pray about it, it's obviously not important. If you do pray about it, it obviously is important. Now, if it's not worth praying about repeatedly, then it isn't a priority. By the way, do you know how to know what's important to you? What's really important to you? You want to say, I don't even know what's important to me. I'll tell you what. You know what's important to you? What you worry about most. Worry tells you what's important in your life. If you worry about it, it's important. If you don't worry about it, it's not that important to you because you've given it up to God, you've trusted him for it, or it's not even that important to you. Worry tells you what's important to you. But every time you worry, you're acting like an atheist. Worry is practical atheism. I've said that many times. It's acting like you don't have a heavenly father who has promised multiple times in this book, I will take care of every one of your needs. When you worry, you're acting like, I don't have a God, and I don't have a God who loves me, and I don't have a God who's promised to take care of all my needs, so if it's to be, it's up to me. I've got to take care of it myself. I've got to worry about it. Worry is an ineffective way of trying to control. You can't. Worrying about the past won't change the past. Worrying about the future won't change the future. Worry just messes up today. It's stewing without doing. It's a waste of time. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And if you prayed about everything you worried about, you'd have a lot less to worry about. Worry all you want, and it won't change anything. Pray about all you want. That will change everything. So every time you start to worry, you should stop and turn the worry into a prayer. Does that make sense? Every time you start to worry about anything, you stop and you turn that worry into a prayer. Worry without just worrying is, as I said, acting like you're an unbeliever. In fact, Jesus gets right to the point in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 32 and 33. He says, why be like unbelievers who worry about everything? Because they don't have any God, any Heavenly Father who loves them, will take care of them. Why worry? Why be like an unbeliever who worry about everything? Your Heavenly Father already knows. Already, circle that. Already knows all your needs. You're not convincing God. You're not even notifying God when you have a need in prayer. Your Father, Heavenly Father, already knows your needs. And He'll give you all you need if your first concern is to live for His kingdom. First concern, what is that? That's called a priority. Praying persistently tests my priorities. Now, when your priorities are right, listen. When your priorities are right, God's answer is yes. It's yes. And when my priorities are not right, God might have another answer. And there are multiple ones He can have for that. I'll share them with you in a minute. But when your priorities are right, God says, you know, he already knows your concern. He'll give you all you need if your first concern is to live for His kingdom. So really, you know, you say, well, I'm waiting on God to answer this prayer. Are you waiting on God or is God waiting on you? Maybe He wants to test is a desire. And maybe He wants to test your priorities. What's really important to me? Look at this next verse, Psalm 84, verse 11. This is an amazing promise. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. Wow. God says, you know what? Your priorities are right. You're living for me. Your attention is with me. You're staying and connected with me. My kingdom is your number one priority. Guess what? Anything you ask. No good thing will I withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's why I said earlier, there is nothing, almost nothing, God will not give the man who's totally committed to Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing God will not give to the woman who's totally committed to Jesus Christ. He says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. So that leads me to ask the question, what's out of order in my life? Are your priorities out of whack right now? Is right now your job taken number one? Is right now, television taken number one? Are your priorities out of order? Are you spending more time on social media than in the Word of God? That's called out of order priority. He says, no good thing will God withhold from those who do what is right. Here's the third test that happens. What it shows me about myself. Persistent praying tests my maturity. This is a big one. When God doesn't give something to you immediately, He is testing your maturity. He's testing your character. He's testing your responsibility. He's testing whether you've grown up or not. It's a gut check. God is, and I told you last week, God is not a vending machine. He's not a genie. Just pop in the prayer like a coin and you instantly get it. He wants to reveal your character. He wants you to show you the areas where you need to grow. Persistent praying. When I ask for something over and over and over, it actually shows my maturity rather than my immaturity. So what do you mean by that? If you tell a toddler you can have it in a little while, do they get that? No. If you tell a toddler, not yet, in a little while, if you tell a toddler you can have it later, they typically will throw a temper tantrum. Why? That's called immaturity. Why? Toddlers don't know how to wait. Immature humans don't know how to wait. Immature humans want it now, and I want it yesterday, and I want it even though I can't afford it, and I'll put it on a credit card, and I'll buy things I don't need with money I don't have. And then I'll be in debt. And I'll be in debt for a long, long time. Why? The number one cause of most of your problems in life is the inability to delay gratification. You don't know how to wait. We're in a society that says, I got to have it, and I got to have it now. Even if I can't afford it, I'll put it on credit, etc., etc. Praying persistently tests my maturity. Why? Because toddlers don't know how to wait. They don't know the difference between no and not yet. Do you? When God doesn't give you a prayer instantly, do you just grab your blanket and your ball and go to the corner? I'm going to go pout because God hasn't given me. I've been praying for that for weeks or months or maybe even years. Don't you think your Heavenly Father knows what you need more than you do, knows when you need it, knows why you need it, knows the best way to need it, is working behind the scenes? While you're whining, God has been working. And while you're waiting, God is working on the answer. Sometimes He has to get certain things into place. I prayed for 13 years for land for this church. And in those, in about 12 of those years, the piece of land that we sit on the Lake Forest campus wasn't even around. It wasn't even available. It wasn't even charted. There was no Rancho Santa Margarita City. There was no Foothill Ranch City. There was no Lake Forest in this area. The roads weren't even in. It was just cow pasture. It wasn't even available. But before God even put in my mind to come and start Saddleback, He already knew where the first campus would be. It was just a matter of time. The dominoes were falling over. And so patience is a mark of maturity. And when it comes to prayer, if God doesn't give it to you immediately, do you just give up and say, well, I'm not going to pray about that anymore because He didn't give it to me in a month or a year or whatever. I'm going to just give up on it. Maturity means you know the difference between a delay and a denial. A delay is not a denial. Now, a baby doesn't understand that. No and not yet mean the same thing. But when you grow up, maturity means I learn the difference between a delay and a denial. God hasn't said no to your request, but it's going to come in His timing. Now, let me just say this. God wants to meet your deepest needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, relational, all your deepest needs. And He's promised to meet those needs, but He's far more interested in your character development. You've heard me say many times, God's more interested in your character than your comfort, because you're not taking all your clothes and china and cash to heaven. You are taking your character. In heaven, there will be no problems. This is the get-ready stage. You shouldn't expect things to be perfect on this earth. Everything is broken on this planet. God wants to meet your needs, but He's more interested in growing you to become more like Christ. And one of the characteristics of Christ is patience. The Bible says patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And how do you learn patience? Waiting. Department of Motor Vehicles. Sitting in a traffic jam. Waiting in a doctor's office. In the waiting rooms of life. And you also learn patience by praying persistently, even when you don't see any results. God is testing your character. He's testing your heart. He's testing your maturity. He's testing your patience.
I am so grateful for that message by Rick, and I hope you are too. And now here's Rick to tell you how you can partner with Daily Hope to take the Word of God to the world.
Today I'd like to read a testimony that really blessed me. It shows how even when you make mistakes, God's faithful to forgive you and that He's always working in your life to bring about everything together for good in your life. Not everything is good in your life, but God works it all for good in your life. Now this is from a man who says he's a recovering addict. And this is part of his story. That starts when he listened to a Daily Hope podcast. Here's what he wrote. Pastor Rick, a couple of months ago, I started a 12-step program. In working the steps and in turning my addiction over to God, I searched out many sources for daily inspirational, daily devotionals, daily meditations to help me reconnect with the Lord as a support for the progress in my recovery. Now, in what just seemed to be a random chance, I just came across your Daily Hope podcast, and I blindly just picked a message from early July. I'm sure a lot of other people have done that too. Well, the very first one I listened to was on Romans 7, which is all about why do I do the wrong things that I don't want to do when I know it's wrong, and what makes me do that? I can't believe that was the first one you listened to. Well, knock me over with a feather. It was a bolt of lightning that I needed to hear. And it was followed by tears of joy because the very next podcast, of course, was Romans 8, which is the solution to my dilemma. That's right, folks. Romans 7 explains the mess we're in. Romans 8 explains how to get out of it. He says, Rick, it was like a smack on the head by divine intervention. So I joined a small group. and I haven't missed a week since, and I love it. And I have a weekly Bible study with a close friend who graciously offered to help me. And I subscribe to your daily devotional email. And I've continued to listen to your podcast when I go for my morning walk. He says, the spiritual growth that I've achieved in a relatively short period of time is really nothing short of remarkable. It's a miracle, and it's a blessing, and it's helped me turn my life around. I now understand why God allowed me to suffer through all my addiction and that the path to recovery is through Jesus Christ. From the bottom of my heart, Rick, thank you for all you do through him. Well, wow, wow, wow. This testimony is a powerful reminder of how God can take everything in our lives, the mistakes, the sins, the failures, the hurts, the bad decisions, even destructive habits. And guess what? God can even bring good out of them. The Bible says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It doesn't say all things are good, because not all things are good. But in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. That's Romans 8:28. Now, this story is a beautiful example of Romans 8:28 and that truth. Listen very closely. No matter what we've done, I'll say it again, no matter what we've done, we're never outside of God's master plan for our lives. Your life is not random. In this case, God led somebody to Daily Hope podcast just at the right moment to hear exactly what he needed. Now, God could have used any method. He could have used any person. He could have used any podcast. But God, in this instance, chose to use Daily Hope. You know, friends, it's because of your support, your prayers, and your giving that we're able to make Daily Hope Bible teaching available to over 35 million people every month. So thank you. Thanks a lot. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your support. This man, who is a recovering addict, was helped because you cared enough to support this ministry. So let me just say it again. I don't ever get tired of saying it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You know, Pastor Rick would love to hear how this broadcast has blessed you. So please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. It's a simple way to encourage and bless Pastor Rick and the whole Daily Hope team. We hope you'll join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.